Well, well, well.
Gwyneth Paltrow's diet press was only to deflect from the fact that her trial for a skiing hit-and-run incident was coming up. He suffered a brain injury and broken ribs. That is some next-level Machiavellian shit at Christine Quinn. 3/20/2023. 7 retweets, 85 likes, 5 bookmarks.
Minutes ago.
Mere minutes ago.
Wow.
On when the pulse. Friend of the podcast, Rashida, said, Christine, how do you know this OMG? Christine said, I remember when this happened and I looked up when the trial is. It's this week, apparently. At Heather McDonald thinks the same, too.
The grand scheme is being
the most evil people alive, exposed. You know, are also exposing the most evil people alive.
Yeah, Christine Quinn Heather can't McDonald. Be more than like a jump from Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, Heather McDonald needs to be quarantined from society, I think. Like, really one of the great evils of our time. Like, the irreparable damage that Heather McDonald has done to women in America is...
The power podcast.
You know what? I think we should podcast less. As a people.
Is that what we should do?
Yes, I think.
So we should reduce our bonus episode frequency.
Yeah, I think.
What we're doing on the pod.
I think in solidarity with Heather McDonald being exiled from society, I think that women should not be allowed to be on podcasts.
Wow.
If it leads to people like Heather McDonald having a career.
Much to think about.
Much to think about. Hey, everyone. It's an annoying day because mere minutes before we started recording this, I opened my laptop, my brand new laptop that I saved up all that money for.
You bought it like 30 days ago at the absolute most.
Maybe. Destroyed.
It's a newer version of the one I and everybody else I know has been using without an issue.
Screen cracked. For no reason.
It's not even cracked. It's like fundamentally broken.
For some reason.
Like, you hadn't dropped it. You haven't
like
done anything.
What turned into from, like, a dead pixel from, like, 1 minute turned into just complete annihilation in the next.
I was like, give me your computer. And as I, like, move the screen a bit more, it just goes black
completely. I am so mad.
The chemical adhesives.
Thankfully, I have. Thankfully, adhesing. I bought the AppleCare. Can you imagine if I didn't?
That should be covered without even touching your AppleCare, to be fair. Apple needs to be tried for what happened there.
That's so weird.
That is not, if you dropped it and that happened, sure.
No, I didn't drop
it. But that's on Apple's
fault.
There's
literally no damage to it.
Literally, if they try to use your AppleCare to repair it, even if it's like completely free, but it uses a part of your like claim, don't. Like, be like, no, this is not even my responsibility. Like, this is fundamentally a broken product.
Dumb.
So now we're potting, well, Joan's potting from
a phone.
From her phone.
Thankfully, I think it'll.
Oh my god, Siri turned on. It's like, absolutely not. Recorded, redacted.
I'm looking at these links.
We have a lot of links. A lot happened. Finally, there wasn't a award show to talk about, which is such a great place to be in.
Bravo made a mistake this week, which I think we should lead with.
Oh,
because
yeah?
Because the girls are waiting for us.
The mistake being?
They accidentally shared the link of an unlisted video, like, days and days and days and days and days before it was supposed
to be out.
Is that
what the mid-season trailer
Matt
was shared ahead.
It wasn't supposed to be.
I didn't think so either, but I was kind of. It was all over
the video. If you went to the YouTube link, the video was unlisted.
Ooh.
And then it went up. It was unlisted as of 4 days ago. And then it went up before Bravo. So they probably had to rush the trailer. Because isn't it only like episode 5?
I was going to say, when it said mid-season trailer, I was like, we're not even halfway through this season.
No, we're not even halfway through.
And if we were, it would definitely premiere like a day or two before the episode.
No, but they did it strategically. It was a good move.
I was going to say, like, if anyone's hungry as hell for that trailer,
well, because they're like, okay, so for this,
I think there's
going to
be another mid-season trailer probably as well.
I mean, because we have so much left of the season.
There's so much content.
It's literally like episode 5.
I'm pretty sure this week will be episode 6 or 7. I'm looking it up now.
I mean, it's crazy that the season trailer already came out. But for those of you who don't know, mid-season trailer is out. And I have to say, I was shaken.
It was so intense.
I don't say that lightly. I don't say it lightly. I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm not doing the Joan Summers-isms of, you know, exclaiming that every last thing is the most dramatic thing to ever happen to me in my life.
By the way, it is episode 7 this week as a new episode. That's like a third of the way through the season.
Maybe.
The most. Yeah, at
this
the
point.
Most.
It is truly shocking. Like, they cut every single thing together from the last 3 weeks into a trailer.
There was so much emotion.
There was so much.
It was
much.
Like everyone was paired up in groups, 3 versus 3, 2v1, like all the combos, crying, shaking, pissing, shitting.
Okay, wait.
Cameras fading in and out.
Can I say something? Can I say something ridiculous?
Sure.
I, from what I have read, and what I have pieced together of the timeline of the last 3 weeks.
I mean, the last like 500 articles we've all collectively read.
Personally, I don't think that in the trailer, Raquel saying, I don't regret our relationship, I don't think she's saying that to Tom Sandoval. I think she's saying that to James.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Because from what we know, Raquel only filmed one time and it was in Tom's apartment.
Yep. Yep.
So they're being a little tricky. Oh,
they are. And they're also
being a little tricky.
And also that shot of Ariana when she's like being thrown around the pool with some like big guy behind her. That guy is like some gay friend of hers who was like, I can't believe they made me look like some other dude. Like building up the open relationship narrative. Like there's lots of tricks and traps and mirrors and smog.
I do have to say that nothing activated my fight or flight more. And I told you this on the phone. I had to call you and get it out. And it's triggering to me because it was so close to a incredibly personal experience we all just lived through like 6 months ago in our lives.
Yeah.
When Ariana's there and Tom is there making himself like coffee and he...
It's like after everything.
After everything. Yeah. After everything.
You could tell just by the energy.
Because the scene of her screaming and him on the couch, he's in the same outfit. She's in the same outfit as the one where it's no words, but there's this like shot of her. It's literally 2 seconds of her primal screaming.
So when you're posting everywhere,
literally like I've never seen anything like it. It's probably the most amount of energy Ariana ever displayed on camera
by far.
Because she's normally like the cool girl, right?
And she definitely pulls in when she's like, not feeling
veins
well.
Veins pop. Like it was a Kristen Doughty primal rage.
I mean, this is like 10 years of anger.
Yeah.
Surfacing.
Yeah. When he's accusing, okay, bold of him to accuse her of being like detached and like, we don't have sex. And like, we both didn't put in the work. And she's like, why would I have sex with someone who feels like a stranger in my bed?
She wasn't cheating.
But okay, back to my story.
Yeah.
Triggered beyond belief. I started like crying in rage for Ariana during the trailer because the scene of him making like coffee or something after they fought ostensibly and he's like, so do you want anything, while she's sitting on the couch like face like beet red from crying and just screaming at him and she goes, for you to die. I just in that moment I was like, men,
too real.
Men need to die. Like, we have to annihilate all men. Like, we have to annihilate all men.
It's valid.
I'm not gonna like pinpoint it to anything just in case the people listen, but like when I went through a very traumatic breakup, I did have one of those moments where like it was like a traumatizing breakup and you have to go to your house to like get your stuff.
Yeah.
And the person is like trying to be normal and is like, do you want coffee or anything?
You're like, absolutely fucking not. Anything that can be said is like knives, guns,
no, immediately. Like, and I no like normalcy. Almost had to have you chaperone me on those excursions because I was going to commit a crime.
I remember like every like 20 minutes, I was like, you good? You good?
No,
like,
you literally
tracking your location.
Like, are you fine? Are you good? Yeah. Where are you? But it's like that just... Any woman who's ever had to go through like a horrible breakup or like dissolution of a relationship or marriage or whatever knows exactly that thing that men do where they're like, well, we'll be friends. Like, you want, just be cool. Like,
I'm trying to be cordial.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cordial. Like, don't you just want coffee or something? Like, just be normal. Why do we have to argue? Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to get triggered all over again. I'm going to start screaming.
No, don't need to go there. Don't go there.
But it like activated something in me. I was like, let me send some hateful text messages after this. Like I felt like my own divine feminine primal rage.
We need to get you a gun that you can just shoot into the air like 100 times. Just take you out into the middle of some forest or desert. Just like shoot a few rounds.
I need to, I need to do that thing that they do where they, you know, they're like, oh, just take a drive and then just scream at the top of your lungs in your car. Like, I might go do that.
That's not a bad idea. Anywhere you can go fast.
I really think, like, the way Ariana is going to be the Princess Diana of reality television, like,
already feels like that.
She, honestly?
Every time she's left the house since, it's been, like, a full PR event.
The show needed a hero. And it came in an unlikely form, you know? Sheena has been carrying hero status on her back by herself.
Sheena said, I was the original, like, home-wrecking whore, and then it was Lala, and then points to Raquel, and now it's you.
And I think that was before.
That's just talking about Katie and Tom, yeah. Not Tom and Ariana.
Now, did you see this thing about Katie calling her former hairdresser, Kristen's friend, I apologize for this language. I personally would never describe anyone as this. I
have no idea what you're talking
about. She described someone as having quote unquote crackhead energy.
What the fuck?
Okay, go to just page 6. I didn't take notes on this.
Oh
but
my God. No, totally missed
it. No. Okay, so allegedly, Tom Schwartz was dating Kristen's best friend, former. Also, I think a hairdresser to Katie, and there was an unreleased scene. Her name's Joe, and there's an unreleased scene that was just seen this week where she's leaving Tom's apartment. I think it might even be the person that he's living with and having like a full relationship with. And his relationship with Raquel, everyone is saying, was cover for him dating Joe, which would be like an actually big deal. And Raquel was dating him as cover for dating Tom Sandoval.
It's becoming like fifth dimensional. Matt, like, I found the Instagram comment that it comes from. Yeah.
Did you see the Page 6 article about it?
I have the Reality Blurb. I couldn't find the Page 6.
No, that's fine. Reality Blurb.
So I guess it was this post here from, at Real Vanderpump on Instagram. Could it have been a double cover? Schwartz and Raquel dating was a cover because Sandoval and Raquel were actually dating, while also Schwartz and Joe were dating? Allowing their double dates to go unnoticed. And then Katie replies, and again, I hate to use that language again, but just quoting verbatim here. Joe is spooky. I mean, none of us would stand to be around her. Her energy is on par with a crackhead. But when Tom and I announced her divorce almost a year ago, the last thing she texted me was, quote, Bieber loves you, I love you, and I'm so supporting of your inner thoughts and vision. Live in the moment. You're a gem. I've always respected you. I love you. XO Joe. She is a psycho, and I will also light her on fire with Rachel. God.
Now, does it tell you who Joe is? Because I was trying to find that as well.
Yeah, there's a link here to another Reality Blurb thing for Tom Schwartz reportedly dating Kristen's ex-friend Joe. See Vanderpump will star holding hands at concert with Raquel.
Okay, so the former Sir waitress revealed Wenberg sent her a text message almost a year ago, blah, blah, blah. The message allegedly read, Bieber loves you, I love you, and I'm so supporting of your inner thoughts and vision. Live in the moment. You're a Gemini. I've always respected you. Love you. XO Joe.
Yeah.
So she says featured a series of Pump Rules pics and videos accompanied by the speculative caption, could it have been a double cover? Schwartz and Raquel dating was a cover because Sandoval and Raquel were actually dating, while also Schwartz and Joe were dating, allowing their double dates to go unnoticed.
Joe Wenberg. This is a lot of new information at once.
So Tom, a restaurant owner, has denied ever hooking up with Wenberg, whom he has known since 2015. He told Us Weekly in February that Joe is a badass hairstylist. I think she's a beautiful soul. We're not living together and we're not dating either, but she's just someone who I appreciate on a deep level. And she's a really cool human being and we're just hanging out.
So Joe Wenberg is her name, began working as a hairstylist for Tom in 2015. I'm getting this from SK Pop, by the way. So real friend sources here. In July 2022, Joe and Tom were seen hanging out at a Los Angeles concert. Schwartz later entered romantically with Levis. Yeah. What we know. Who is she? But they're roommates? And they were roommates.
Okay. Oh, so it later came out in a deleted season 10 scene of Vanderpump Rules that Tom was living with Wenberg.
Yeah, because they don't show that what's so fucking ever.
It says, yeah, I just am trying to figure out, what is going on?
This is too much.
I don't understand. I guess I'm curious, would it be bad because it's their ex-friend? That it's, Kristen's other... it's the same reason she's mad at Raquel?
I don't know. It's just there's a woman around Schwartz, thereby people are angry at that woman.
Okay, I'm just
saying. That's how it goes every fucking time.
I know we're not a Vanderpump Rules recap podcast, but we kind of are now.
During these times?
I just need Katie Maloney to, really process and understand that, like, you're not married to Tom Schwartz anymore.
Even though, like, they're legally married still, they moved out. The divorce papers are on the way.
She's,
like, come on, mama.
Going around telling, okay.
If he was marrying somebody, maybe that'd be a little complicated.
I'm just saying this. This is, I really think, what is going on with Katie. And I'm not saying it as someone who would do this, but I can understand the impulse. Coming out of a horrible relationship, right?
Yeah.
You have all this anger. And you made the choice to leave, right? You left. She left him. Mm-hmm. It was her idea.
Yeah, it was her choice.
She was unhappy. But I'm going to give her a little bit of benefit of the doubt here. He was awful, okay? He's emotionally
and really terrible.
Physically manipulative.
Yep.
He's poured drinks on her head. He's cheated on her a bunch. He's lazy, apathetic. Like, generally all around a bad guy, right? Nothing redeeming about him except the fact that he can be kind of charming and a little bit hot.
I mean, that's literally what got him through this entire
and
thing.
She supported him for years, uplifted him at every turn. He sucked the life out of her for a decade and a half almost. And she gave him everything she possibly could give another human being, short of literally her organs.
I was going to say, well, I didn't even like Katie, and I don't think she's a good person either necessarily. Like, it was very obvious in the relationship the balance was on him. Like, he was the one causing the drama, causing the harm.
And I just think
she was trying to hold out for something
better. When you have done all of that for someone and then been rejected, basically that they wouldn't change for you.
Yep.
They wouldn't get their act together. They wouldn't treat you better. They wouldn't do any of that.
Put you second every single time.
And then you leave. And then you're gone. And you see them now doing the game that they did with you to other people, right? Other people are falling in line with, like, owned Tom Schwartzy, right? And I do think that she sees how he treated his friends and is like, well, maybe if I'm his friend, he'll also treat me better. It's not going to work like that, obviously, right? But I think that she's, like, resentful of the fact that he just gets to go live his life now and he doesn't have to atone for anything.
I think it's also,
and
like,
I think that she's also a little bit misogynistic. Well. And rather than properly weaponizing that into literally incinerating him alive in his, like, shabby
just direct the energy to him. That would be fine.
She's directing it at everyone else, right? Yeah. Because she doesn't really want to face
she still wants to protect
what
him
it
in a
is
way.
That she's mad at, which is that she gave him everything she had, and he wasn't going to change for her. That she wasn't enough
I
for
think
him.
She's still resentful of that, and that's why she's so angry. She's, like, watching him do this.
It's a very common thing.
And she's like, why do I have to now do all the work?
It's a very common thing for women, right?
Yeah.
To believe and be tricked by society and their partners into thinking that if you give this person enough.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from experience here. Very recent, too. If you give this person enough, if you work hard enough, if you, you know, are patient enough and understanding of all the bullshit they make you go through, that eventually they're going to reach a point, this man, that he's going to come to the light and be like, I can't believe I treated you this way, or I can't believe I did those things
to
you.
Come to Jesus.
And I can't believe all this. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be a different person now. And when they don't do that, it literally feels like he has just played on every single insecurity. We know Katie's deeply insecure about the way she looks, about her attractiveness to other people, about her worth, you know?
Yeah.
And you can see that in the way she is friends with women, and you can also see that in her relationship. I think
and
that's
who
something
she
that's really
tends
obvious.
To align to blindly.
Yes. To be cool, to be seen, to be loved. And when he rejected all of that, right? That she wasn't good enough for him to change or treat her better.
Oh my God.
She sees him going out and doing his, like, goofy Tom Schwartz thing. Everyone's
and the girls eat it up.
The girls eat it up, right? Like, oh, like, it's so easy for him to just, like, look, I'm going to bat my eyes at Raquel, to her at least in the moment.
Yeah.
And, like, bam, there goes Raquel. She's, like, smitten with him. She's going to, like, prey on him or whatever in Katie's eyes.
And that's why I get why she's angry, too, because she's, like, I'm still processing all of this, and it's, like, right in my face the whole time.
I think that she's just resentful of that.
Yeah, of course.
Because she wants him to suffer, and he's not suffering.
And she has to stay with him as a friend, in a sense.
To the rest of us, he's suffering, right? But his life is same old,
he could suffer more. He could definitely suffer more.
You know, like, he's in his,
he could lose more.
He lived, his shitty apartment looks the same as it's
and apparently he has a roommate for a reason. That apartment is garbage.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is like she looks at it and is like, she wants to be close to him because she is too insecure to just detach herself and be by herself. But she's also spiteful and hateful enough that she just wants to see him suffer, and he's not suffering. And I think that that just drives her crazy. But I do have to say, in the trailer, when she screams at Raquel, "He's my husband," I'm like, babe, you literally got a divorce. Like, he's actually not your husband.
And it's like, even if it's legally not the case yet, like, you're not living together. You're not having sex. Is being processed. It's about to happen. Like, and you are both mutually agreeing that's the case. So, like, come on.
They
now.
Got divorced like 7 months prior to filming.
That's kind of true also, isn't it? Like, I don't understand.
They did it over the winter.
Yeah, that's the thing. When she says that, I'm like, is it? Like, is the paperwork
done? This is
done?
Like 7-8 months into your divorce. Like, you don't get to claim he's your husband.
Yeah, because the divorce happened at the end of 2021, and then they started filming summer of 22.
That's what I'm
so
saying.
So it's like, mama, like, what is taking so long? Like,
no, but I get it, though. I mean, like,
it's just sad.
You have seen me.
Yes.
Fall into a rage spiral over the fact that people in my life are not suffering right now, currently. I mean, to us, they're suffering, but it's like charmed life as usual, right? Mm-hmm. For a lot of people.
You're like, it could be
for
worse.
For certain people, we both know.
Yes, yes.
And I'm just saying that I understand where Katie's coming from on a really basic, unevolved emotional level.
Raw primal energy, yeah.
But also, sound off, girls, in the comments, right? We all know what it is like to have a man in our life suck the life out of us. And then we leave him, have the moral high ground, everything.
Do all the right choices.
And then we are the ones that are punished by circumstance. And they just get to go off and find some hot young girlfriend, do the same shit to her. Yeah. And we're the ones left with the debt, the bills, the house, the mortgage, whatever it is.
It's like shocking how common this is, and yet so unprepared or unable people baggage, are to deal
emotionally,
with this.
Yeah.
Because it's that complicated and that commonplace. Like, it's like society almost is like meant to make this happen to millions of people.
It's so annoying.
And that's how you can see with Tom Schwartz. Like, everyone's like, get back in the game and like have fun and like whatever, do this. And it's just like
so
brutal to watch.
Okay.
So we have other Vanderpump Rules news.
How much time do we have?
We're already at 22.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly, before we get to the Vanderpump Rules thing, I'm just going to tell us what we're not going to do today.
Good idea.
Because I'm making executive decisions here.
Sounds good to me.
We're going to put a... these are just some headlines. J-Lo puts on a really big shoe as she and Ben scramble to close escrow. Skip. Bad Bunny seemingly disses Kendall Jenner's ex Devin Booker on new song. Hard skip. Tyga buys Avril Lavigne a custom-made $80,000 diamond necklace amid
so
mid romance.
So ugly.
Hard skip. We also are going to kind of skip Wendy Williams spotted drinking at NYC gay bar townhouse after rehab.
Yeah. Not good. The quotes in that, y'all can bear that yourself separately.
I do have to skip this only because it's a conflict of interest, but I do want to just...
I was wondering why you put it in here.
Go read my interview with Delilah Bell Hamlin on paper.com. But E.T., Delilah Bell recalls having a seizure on set of music video. Shares advice from Mom Lisa Rinna. Exclusive. Skip.
Speaking of quotes to bear, yeah, y'all go read that separately because
last thing
some
is,
insights.
I'm kind of thinking I want to do an episode about this.
Oh, about which?
So La Roche reveals truth behind Tough Louis Vuitton show with Zendaya retirement. Skip. Only because I think I want to do an episode about it. Maybe next week.
Okay.
When Bieber's done.
Oh. We need to get back to pop music that.
I'm letting it simmer.
Oh no, it's all good. I'm just making sure we're all aware.
I know that we're incepting the series with a new series.
Incepting again?
You know, I almost incepted again for real.
With what? Oh, with like a part three for the
Into
Bieber thing?
Into a deeper level of this. I want to do an episode on celebrity psychologists.
Oh, sorry. That's just like the wave that washed over me thinking about doing that.
But I was like, I can't stop. Child Star Hell. Yeah. Like, we have to get through it.
And the way that it also opens up a Hillsong refresh episode, can't do it yet either.
Oh my God. I know. I want to get
it. Will be a mini refresh.
I know. Well, now, I mean, we're going to get into it, but like, Church Home is the new one.
Mama, what's this called? Church Home?
Church Home.
Church home. Oh.
Like church home, but it's C-H-U-R-C-H-O-M-E. It's where all the celebs go now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also want to do a little mini thing for the podcast, maybe about Kanye West school.
Donda Academy. I know. I've been wanting to talk about it for a while. Only
because I'm like, what's going on with that?
And it's still like, what is going on? It was canceled and brought back like months ago.
Yeah. Okay. But okay.
Mama.
First off, tell me this more news that we've got.
Okay. So we do have Sheena Shea. She says she will, quote, be fully intending to be at the Vanderpump Rules reunion despite Raquel's restraining order.
That's my queen.
Yeah. So this is from People and the Shenanigans podcast. She says, quote, as far as I know, I'm fully intending on being there in person. I have no say over how this logistically works out. If it's Zoom, we also have another COVID test we have to do before the reunion. So that's not up to me whatsoever. I just want to make that very clear. Obviously we know about the scandal, blah, blah. She says it's been really tough just hearing everything, seeing everything, going back and thinking about everything. You will see a lot of this play out. It started a little bit in this week's episode, but every episode in the rest of the season, people should be watching with a very different lens. So it's nice getting confirmation, as if we didn't already know, that this episode, the most recent of Vanderpump, where they go to Lake Havasu and whatever the fuck, that Raquel is definitely already sleeping with or starting to see Tom Sandoval. Okay. And it's becoming a little obvious.
I just want to get your read on this after we get through this story, because I'm very curious about what you think about that episode.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of thoughts about that episode. So Shay's lawyer, Nima Romani, told People that if Levis, they have to say this, whose birth name is Rachel, doesn't drop the restraining order, it could make filming their reunion very difficult or even impossible. So we've already heard this a bunch of times, but she says, quote, the temporary restraining order as it stands now currently prohibits Sheena from being within 100 yards of Rachel, so they can't both be physically present at the reunion. Rachel not only betrayed her friends, but she has sabotaged the reunion because it just can't happen in any meaningful way while this order is in place. I love how this lawyer's like on Sheena's side to the end, every direction with production. She says also, there is really no mechanism.
This is Sheena's lawyer, right?
Yeah, this is Sheena's lawyer. Yeah, there is really no mechanism to modify this type of temporary civil restraining order before the hearing, so the reunion, at least having them all together in person, is certainly in jeopardy. Romani also noted that if one calls in virtually, the two co-stars are forbidden from talking to each other because of this order. She also says Shay and Levis may be able to film in person if the reunion date is changed or if the restraining order is dropped on Rachel's end. Currently, the reunion is supposed to be taped March 23rd, which is Wednesday of this week, the same day that episode 7 will be airing. The restraining order hearing is scheduled for March 29th, so the following
Bravo week. Bravo wouldn't just push it?
I'm like, they have to. I feel like Bravo and Andy are doing some work to be like, Rachel, drop this motherfucking thing right now so we can save the money. But otherwise, they have to push it because the hearing is on the 29th. And I mean, it seems likely it will be dropped because of the lack of evidence, though we don't know what's going to happen yet. But if it's proven or, you know, the judge sides with Raquel, it could be a permanent restraining order. And then it's all over at that point. Like, the show's over. Like, they wouldn't be able to even be on the show anymore.
I'm just going to say this. Bravo needs to put its foot down with the legal machinations of its cast members.
It's getting crazy.
To control the shows.
It's getting really irritating.
Okay.
It's happening more and more in every franchise.
Because they don't get punished for it. Okay. When Kathy Hilton and fucking, what's her name, sent out all those cease and desist to everybody.
Was it Lisa Rinna or?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No. Oh, last season.
Oh my God. Erica. Not even Erica.
No. Her name, Diana.
Oh, Diana Jenkins.
When they sent out all those cease and desists, Bravo should have never tolerated that. Okay. When people say,
yeah, you really need to be like dropped at that point.
I'm sorry. There needs to be shit in the clause that unless this person has tormented you physically or sexually in a way that is like violent and degrading to you. Obviously, those things are violent and degrading, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
That unless they have crossed like a true line with you or have done something that could potentially land Bravo or them in criminal prosecution,
the bar needs to move.
It needs to go to mediation between the parties, mediated by Bravo. Because what it does when you allow these people to wanton issue reckless legal threats against each other that have no basis, the
character
assassination claim, no main,
especially
what it allows them to do is control production and game the stories. And it is such a cancer to Bravo. Okay. Literally, if Raquel wants to keep this restraining order, she wanted to play silly games and then she wants to somehow win.
Yeah, you want to keep getting paid while not giving us anything at all.
But like
fired, dropped, get out.
She's not filming right now. She's refused to film us according to every reputable Bravo source.
Yeah.
She's only filmed the one scene with Tom Sandoval and has been actively avoiding cameras since all this went down.
Such bullshit.
If she is invited to the reunion over Sheena, I'm sorry.
Oh, I would be furious.
I'm sorry. That is bullshit.
It is funny. It is kind of also bullshit. It also speaks to Tom. I love that there's nothing about Tom showing up or not, because you know he will, because he loves the attention.
Yes, and he's not filing any fucking restraining orders because he knows the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, but Raquel, this is how I know, and I'm gonna say this about the Vegas episode too, because we can get into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I know that she is the worst kind of insecure person, which is an insecure person whose insecurity turns into a like temporary manipulativeness and or like impulse to like be sneaky and like scuttly about stuff. Because like, I don't think Raquel is a mastermind. I don't think she's smart enough to have kept this under wraps, because obviously it all
this
came
is all
out,
ad hoc. You can tell like completely.
But in the trip, what I saw from her, right? Everyone's like, it's not what Andy said it was. It wasn't as like groundbreaking. I'm sorry, to me, Lake Havasu was illuminating, because what I saw
it was
in Lake
absolutely,
Havasu,
I think so.
Was one, she had a panic-induced breakdown in the car because of her guilt.
That was legitimate too. And also her like identity within the group, clearly. That's what she was saying. Yes. So I don't know who I am anymore.
Yes.
Like that was very clever.
I don't know who I am. Because I'm cheating with Tom Sandoval. Also, her breakdown, obviously she feels intense guilt. I think that she was extremely stressed out that Ariana was on the trip.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone else has. I'm the kind of person where like if I'm like really, really tense and then the object of my tenseness goes away, it's like I burst into tears. Yeah. Like, you know, you're in a really stressful situation. I don't cry in stressful situations, but then I'm out of it and I'm like by myself. I like break
then
down
because
then
yeah.
I like comes over me. Right. Yeah. Like the. So I think Ariana being on the trip was really stressful and she was super nervous.
And then Ariana having to leave for such like sad circumstances.
And then she's
too.
In this car with people who really don't like her. I just think like it all caught up to her in the car. Yeah. But I also think that part of her was like, you can see it at the table when they're all ganging up on her in Havasu, which is the ugliest place on earth, by the way.
God, and when they were at that boat thing.
We'll have a Caesar salad for the whole table, please. Literally, nothing worse could possibly be said to me.
So upsetting.
Don't ever order a Caesar salad for me. I don't need it. But.
Oh, Christina Kelly. Oh my
God. You can see when they're all going after her, this like change come over her where you can kind of see her start to relish in her choice.
Yeah.
And be like,
this is when she starts kind of talking back to Lala.
I have something over you guys now.
Yeah.
I know this game and I'm going to play it now. Yeah. Right. Like, because you can see them all, like, you can see them all really try to game the story in Havasu to be like, we did nothing wrong. You're obviously the villain. Not
Thank God Charlie was there too.
Not knowing anything about what she's doing. So she's like, oh, I can get away with it.
Yeah.
And these assholes don't like me. I have something over them now. You know, I'm going to get them. And I think, honestly, it shows that she's making choices out of insecurity because Ariana is her friend. Sheena is her friend.
Yeah, Ariana being there, too, made the whole dynamic so toxic and terrible. Like, I did not realize how much Ariana would buffer that until she was gone. Thank God Charlie came in, like, at the end because it would have been unbearable.
So otherwise. I think people keep saying, like, well, if Ariana's, like, her friend, why would she do this? I'm like, I don't think when you're like making those insecurity based decisions, you're not thinking about like who's on my side, who's my friend or not, right? Like you're acting out of pure selfishness.
Yeah.
And you're acting out of like that need. I do believe when she says, I have a very deep desire to be loved and have attention and whatnot. Yeah. We know her life story. It's really dark. You missed it, but like the
I missed it.
You didn't watch last season.
Oh,
where she got
into last
it.
Season.
Yeah, where she talks about that her like mom is actually her aunt because her mom gave her up.
Oh, I did hear about that though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you can see how that is like kind of a trigger point
a lot
for
going
her.
On there.
And so, like, that feeling of abandonment and insecurity and not being, like, worthy of love and, like, attention. Mm-hmm. I just think in, like, Havasu, you can see her, like, the switch flip for her from having this, like, intense guilt to being like, oh, I can relish in this, right? And that's why I'm saying that, like...
It was fun when she was like, I mean, you were the mistress. Like, it's undeniable.
No, because you can see her start to, like...
Yeah.
Because she's a little shaky at first, but then by the end, she's like... When she looked at them in the eyes and was like, I'm going to the Mondrian to see Schwartz. Electrifying. Not only am I leaving the trip, but I'm going to a party with your ex-husband.
And she knows who invited they hate me. It. And they know that they hate it. They know that that made them go crazy. They're like, of course you would.
And then, of course, I'm never going to get over Charlie. Of course what, Christina?
She was so real. I love Charlie so much. Like,
Charlie, that's don't ever the energy. Invite that lip balm girl anywhere with her dry ass hair.
And you know what? She used to be like a bartender at Sir. Now she just like
sells lip balms. All I know about Christina Kelly is that she used to work at Sir and now she sells lip balms for a living.
When it was just Lala with her trauma, Katie with her unique trauma, Christina Kelly with nothing to offer, it was like the darkest moments of my life. Like when they were on the boat for like 30 minutes or something talking to some randos.
No,
and that's like full Trump boat country. Like, you know, when there's like boats that go and crash, like the Trump rallies.
You can tell they just recycled the same 30 minutes of footage, but cut it into different, like, they would go from like the boat to the water to the dancing, partying, and they just cut between all of them in sequence to make it look like a lot was going on.
No, but there, like, was nothing. It was like one afternoon.
But when they're at that table and then at Martini Bay later, like, it's this thing that happens with Vanderpump Rules, which is when the show is at its worst, where the mean girls get to win the day.
It's really
bad. And then they
really
like get what they want, which is like, look at us. We're like girl power now. And it is like the most rancid, horrible vibes, nasty ass energy.
And three of you at this club. Is bleak.
When it was the Witches of WeHo, like, people seem to forget, but that was the worst era ever. Okay, that's why.
And they came together to make a bad wine that no one
That's bought. Why, like, the show tanked, was because Kristen, Katie, and Stassi got together and did the most rancid, mean girl shit. And of course, like it is now with Lala replacing Stassi in the group energy-wise.
And again, Katie aligning to her because she is very insecure.
And Christina Kelly playing the role of Kristen, the follower who says yes to everything and doesn't complain and lets them abuse her.
Nothing going on. There's no stake in anything happening.
No, she's just there because they're giving her attention, and she's the true definition of a pawn, where like, Kristen will do anything you say.
Yeah.
She will go anywhere you want, and you can say anything to her, and as long as you're more popular than her, she's just gonna let you do it.
And same thing with Katie, honestly.
No, but
Katie is a bit more autonomous, but
Katie, I think, is the worst kind of person, where she gets off on being aligned with someone she perceives as cooler than her. So like, you saw that with Stassi, where she was like, her whole issue with Sheena is that Sheena is just herself. But Sheena also doesn't make apologies for genuinely wanting to be liked by people.
Yeah, she's honest about it.
She's honest. And I think that Sheena's insecurity, she wears it on her sleeve, and she's no bullshit. Everyone knows all about Sheena.
I mean, Sheena's, again, vlogging like it's 2011
and Katie
with a flip video camera.
So deeply insecure.
She doesn't give a fuck.
She's so deeply insecure that she has to maintain that air of aloofness. And she sees Sheena just being herself, being carefree.
Yeah, and she's like envious.
And like,
scared.
She's envious of Sheena. And that was their whole dynamic. Why all of them ganged up on Sheena? Because Katie aligned to Stassi, who was the OG. I'm better than you. And like, I'm going to sit over here and flip my hair and be like, ew, Sheena, you're so disgusting. Like, ew, like, she's so cringe. And Stassi's like, I mean, Katie's like, oh my God, yeah, like, she's so cringe. Like, you're so right, Stassi. Like, oh my God, by the way, I like texted you, you didn't text me back, but it's fine, I love you. And then Kristen's just like, tell me where to be and I'll be there as long as the camera shows up, you know? And Lala now plays the role of Stassi, making broad declarative statements.
Oh my God,
that have no basis.
When she was like, Raquel came up to, and when she sat on that table, I knew it was over. She was disgusting. I was like, she made three words. Like, I don't know what it, I barely remember. It was also, so casual.
She microwaved bread. Like,
yeah, they were like, that was disgusting what she ate.
I was like, but again, but that's like you? Lala's role, making broad declarative statements that have no basis in reality because she thinks she's better than everybody.
Oh, and the way she judges like people who are drinking as someone who's freshly sober was disgusting.
No, listen.
Is so
Lala
mean.
And I have been, actually, how long has Lala been sober?
I was going to say, I think it's like, also, if she got sober.
How long has Lala been sober?
So you're going to figure that one out.
Okay, wait.
I think she got sober right after, right, like, as Ocean was coming, obviously.
Okay, so she celebrated 3 years in 2021.
Oh, really?
So she's been sober, like, 2 years longer than me? Because wow. I got sober in 2020. But, like, okay, listen, I understand the impulse as a sober person to see drinking people and be like, oh, my God.
Well, yeah.
Fair. But you keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
You keep it to yourself.
Well, also the way
because
she...
Because not everyone has a terrible relationship to alcohol like you do.
Well, also, like...
So some people are just... having a good time and then they don't abuse alcohol.
Well, but that's the thing too with Raquel. I was like, she was actually pretty normal. Like, she was not that crazy. All of you were much worse when you were drinking than Raquel was. Like, it doesn't make, it's really upsetting.
I do have a truly mind-boggling theory though.
Oh, I mean, it's the time.
I know where Raquel probably got those galaxy lights from or got the idea.
Stop. The light.
Who's
the Twitter reply?
They said
lights?
Something like, who would have those, a 12-year-old girl or something? I was like, actually, did nobody watch last season when Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval took mushroom tea and used like psychedelic disco lights to do like a spiritual journey to figure out the vibe of Tom Tom?
Is Tom Sandoval a galaxy light influencer?
I think that's where she got them from.
Because again, the most Twitter reply thing ever, those
or
galaxy
like,
lights.
If it wasn't when they were having an affair, he was like, oh, you might like these. Maybe Ariana has
I mean, the
too.
Lightning necklaces were in play this episode.
Well, one of them.
One of them, just Tom's, right?
We need to be on Lightning Necklace Watch. I love that our bonus episodes are just about Vanderpump.
I know, we're like 42 we can't stop.
Okay, wait,
about it.
I'm going to get through some other stuff. Austin Butler did reveal why the debate about his voice made him self-conscious.
Imposter syndrome.
During a Graham Norton show appearance, he admitted that he was feeling self-conscious about the discussion about his voice because he was worried he might be putting on a front. He then came to the realization that his voice had simply matured when compared to the clips people are using from his childhood. Quote, from all the singing, I probably have destroyed my voice a bit. You know, my vocal cords. It's a lot raspier now. For a while, I thought I was just being phony. I thought, is this not my real voice? But then I realized if I have to consciously think to speak differently, then this is my real voice. Babe.
Five.
Doll.
Are we gonna talk about this next week?
Have you clicked it? Have you seen it?
Of course I have. At the side by sides, like, this is the most like the before after slider is necessary. Like, it's actually
no
insane.
He should play Handsome Squidward in the SpongeBob
movie. Talking about Liam Payne, by the way.
Okay, we are not going to mock. Okay, I'm future-proofing this in case there's something medically wrong with him, like cancer or an eating disorder. Like, so let us be clear that we do not advocate for making fun of people's eating disorders.
I mean, if you're from One Direction, like, there's a lot of things going on.
Or cancer diagnosis.
Yes,
like,
of course.
I just wanted to get that out of the way. But
however...
if y'all click the link in our description...
It would be one thing if he just looked like this, but... He never looked like
no,
this.
Like looking at the photo,
the before ones too. Oh my god, what red carpet was this even for?
He was like the hottest one besides Zayn at one point.
I know,
and now
he looked good. As
no,
is.
Okay,
it's crazy.
I think what is the most wild part of this is you can see the part between, the one in the pink suit and then the one in the gray suit. You can see the part where he discovered fillers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then in this photo, he's so like waxy, like shiny.
No, it is giving like buffed, like
no, like
when they
It's like shiny in such a specific way.
And there's like muscles in his face that like were revealed after this. Like, also that thing though, and maybe it's just the lighting and angle, but like when the jawline, like the corner, that like sharp angle that makes it the bicycle seat kind of thing, when like it's almost bulging outward past that, like it's like there's like more of something happening. Like, it's just, I mean, I'm assuming buckle fat removal, right?
I'm just going to say this.
Like, that's the first thing.
I'm just going to say this. If guys want this look and don't want to look like this, just get your jaw shaved and, like, neck lipo. You don't have to remove your buckle fat. It is going to make you look like they did corpse makeup on Skeletor. Like...
No, really, it does feel like they pushed a part of the skull forward. Like,
wasn't it a Vanderpump Rules thing where Stassi said something? I think she said this about Sheena, where she was like, she put on her makeup with a fire hose. Yeah. Like, it feels like they put on his face with a fire hose of makeup.
Really, it's really crazy. It's like optical illusion, really. No.
I'm not trying to be mean, but it's like standing next to...
It just looks fresh. I'm sure it'll settle.
Standing next to this person he's with, it's like he's almost a different species. Like, it's like he came from outer space. Like,
giving Na'vi. Like.
No, it's like there's a human being with some filler next to him, and then there's whatever it is that he's supposed to be. Like, it's just... It's like...
It does look like a wax figure.
It's the like more I look Boston Dynamics made a human robot. Like, it's like...
No, you know that trend on TikTok where they put the, like, Chad face outline over somebody and they, like, face morph them to fit in that Chad face outline? That's what this is giving. Like, it's crazy. I mean, like, the chin is, like, square.
It's just so
the
square.
Jaws are, like, far out. Like, it's crazy.
And he was, like, attractive before.
No, he was really hotter.
Sorry. Listen, I'm not trying to say he's ugly. I'm just saying that, like, it makes
I just don't understand,
like,
yeah.
I'm just like, wow. We're awful. If this was a woman and we were saying this, immediately misogyny, but...
Well, you know, sometimes this procedure and this exact thing that he's done could make a lot of people look very different, and maybe it'll make them look
more
snatched.
I think they need it. If they're going to do that, he needs to just go a little bit off the jaw too.
People are claiming it's kind of annoying now that anyone that has weight loss, they just throw Ozempic around, because I also saw that as well. And I was like, let's just not.
We also have Gisele Bryan didn't bring up those Juan Dixon cheating rumors on Real Housewives of Potomac because she forgot about it.
Again, I mean, this isn't the lawsuit thing, but it's similar, where it's like,
yeah,
y'all are not, stop trying to take control over the narrative.
So for context, I almost called her Sheena. Robin has this husband who just got fired from his job for that sexual assault investigation.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, where he parted ways mutually after like scandal after scandal after scandal.
Yeah. So, now he's really her jobless roommate. That's so wild. Stop. You married a jobless roommate of yours. Okay. So he definitely cheated with this girl.
Oh God. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what was it? Paid for hotel room, but nothing happened.
But then there's photos of them doing laundry together. Me when there was a caption on one of the Bravo meme accounts where it's like, it's a photo of him smiling with like dish, like detergent for laundry with this girl. And the caption is like, me when a girl forgets her debit card, so I go to the hotel to pay for it. And then we go to the laundromat and do laundry together because she still doesn't have her debit card and she needs her laundry done. And I was like,
because that's the only thing you could possibly explain this.
But also, what kind of dummy takes their phone out in a laundromat and is like, I'm gonna get photographic evidence
someone
of my
presence
here.
Someone doesn't give a fuck.
Oh yeah,
clearly.
No. I think that we
so
can
there's
agree.
No respect for anyone around them.
So she said, so they denied all of this, right, on TV, and then after the fact on Patreon released like a bonus episode of their podcast Reasonably Shady, in which they basically confirmed it happened.
Yeah.
And
Patreon
that
exclusive
they just
reveal.
Like didn't want to talk about it on the show. Andy grilled her after the fact at like a after thing at Watch What Happens
Live.
Yeah,
Robin kept being like, oh, that was just so long ago. Like,
it was just so long ago. It doesn't matter. And so despite all the backlash, people reports that Brian said of it, quote, I was just really not my story to tell. And I'm going to support my friend. She went on to explain that the situation happened so long ago, it wasn't even a thought in her mind. Quote, I forgot about it, to be quite honest. I think people think we film 24/7, 365 days a year. We don't. And that situation was like months and months prior to us filming. She also notes that bringing up old drama isn't her...
I know.
She also notes that bringing up drama isn't her style.
She's never done that before.
Not once. People need to understand, we film in a vacuum. We film certain months, and it's about what's happening in those months. Robin and Juan were at a great place. I mean...
A place of greatness?
I mean, she was planning her wedding, also.
Was she? Planning...
I didn't get why everyone was like, she should have talked about it, because it happened. I don't want to bring it up when my boyfriend cheated on me in high school, but y'all want me to?
Yeah, because your boyfriend cheating in high school 40 years ago is on par with...
I love that you said that she was in high school 40 years ago.
I mean...
she was probably...
Oh, wait, how old is she? Never mind.
She was probably in high school like 30
years ago. 30 anyway.
Something. Yeah.
Mentally 100.
No,
like I was in high school
100 years ago. I just love the idea that... Well, if he's not cheating on you right when we're filming, then why do we have to bring it up? Meanwhile, cut to every time, anytime Michael Darby so much as breathed in another person's direction outside of filming. Also, when Candace's man...
Oh, yeah.
...texted Ashley when they weren't filming months prior, and Ashley was like, I felt weird about it, and they spent all season talking about it. That wasn't when you were filming.
Well, also, Andy was like, Robin... Didn't it feel like it might be kind of important because of your entire storyline being about your, like, rocky relationship and, like, the fact that you guys wanted to put a clause in for cheating? Like, she explicitly had multiple episodes in a row about how she wanted to put a clause in her prenup about cheating, and it was never mentioned that he had cheated months ago.
What is Whitney Cummings talking about?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Me too, girl. I don't understand either. Siri is so right for that.
That was
that happened. That was so funny.
I'm in shock. Okay, keep going.
So, Whitney Cummings has a new show coming out. So that's what most of this is about. But let's just get angry real quick. So, Whitney Cummings thinks it's a dangerous time to be a comedian in America. It's from Page Six. I don't have to tell you, over the past couple of years, comedy has taken quite a hit, the performer tells Page Six in an exclusive interview. It became super obvious that there were some issues in our society, which, you know, it's usually our job to comment on and confront, and all of a sudden, comedians started becoming, like, the enemy. I'm sorry. It became super obvious that there were some issues in our society. That is so funny,
some
girl.
Issues.
That's so funny. Okay.
Some issues.
So Cummings explains that previously, comedians could tackle sensitive subjects to, quote, help everyone cope and to laugh at horrible things. And then all of a sudden, for a litany of reasons, people started saying, comedians are the bullies and they're causing violence. And we're like, wait, what? She apparently finds it ironic that some people are calling out comedians as bullies, and yet comedians have come under physical attack.
Okay, I'm so...
I told you, do you want to
be
angry?
I'm so sick of people being like, well, look at the ways that comedians have become viciously assaulted. For instance...
Guess what they're going to
source. Very rich man Will Smith slapped very rich man Chris Rock at a private event hosted by their work. And that is a indication that, nationally speaking, comedians are... being viciously assaulted. I'm just saying.
I knew this was gonna happen to you.
Okay.
That is one of the two incidences
let's talk
that
about,
they source here
let's,
as well, of course.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
You know who's else under viciously assaulting? You know whose rights are being viciously assaulted, like comedians? Trans people, queer people, drag queens? Black people, too. I'm saying just because of the current news, you could probably name like 10 incidents of recent news within the last 3 months off the top of your head, if I was to grill you right now, of anti-LGBTQ violence.
Yeah.
Anti-drag queen violence. Yep. Anti-trans people violence.
Yep.
If we were to talk about mass shootings, you could probably name like 5 off the top of your head that happened in the last year. If we were to talk about incidents involving the police... we could also name that. Can you name, besides Chris Rock and Will Smith, a single incident of anti-comedian violence besides that in the last year? A single one.
There's only one, and it's and it's like the one. And it's the Dave Chappelle Netflix Joke Festival, where the man, you know, apparently was armed and came on stage to attack him. That is quite literally the only one that I think actually happened. Like,
to
in
also
the news.
The largest comedian in the world.
Yes. And again, like, Dave Chappelle being attacked by a person with a weapon, talk to, like, any elementary school teacher. Talk about what fears they have.
But I'm just, this is what I hate about the framing of comedians being allowed to co-opt the language of oppression and violence against them.
It's insane.
Is we allow them to live in a reality that does not exist. And also, like, I'm going to be rude to ourselves here for a second.
Sure.
But, like, comedians play a role in society that is, like, equivalent to literally, like, people who make decorative resin art, okay? Like, to be honest, like, I'm just saying, like, sure, you can enrich people's lives, but, like, let's be honest about what it is you do. And I say that as someone with a fake job, which is blogging on the internet and also podcasting, two of, like, the possibly fakest things that you can do for a career.
I mean, it's true.
And, like, the way that comedians act, like, they are these, like, underrepresented, marginalized individuals that have had their rights stripped away from them because their job became just, like, a little bit more publicly acknowledged as fake, like the rest of us, is infuriating. I get it, Whitney Cummings. It's hard to be a woman in comedy and make a living for yourself. I get that. I understand. But just because people don't like your jokes anymore and think that maybe you're not as funny,
like,
as the insular LA comedy bubble you exist in, does not mean that you are living a life of violence and marginalization for simply being a person who does comedy professionally. That is insane to say. It's insane to posit in this particular time to literally look at the scroll on the front page of the New York Times of all the anti-trans shit going down on a daily basis,
which is what all the trans some comedians people are making fun of.
Yes.
So maybe that's why people are angry.
Yes. To see all of that and then adopt the language of violence and apply it to your own life. Like,
that comedians are the bullies?
No. Like,
who is saying that?
It's the most comedian thing in the world to see something like all the people in the world right now being brutalized by the government, by each other, all the shootings going on, and be like, let's find a way to make this about me. And the Laugh Factory is a level of narcissism that is really only capable by a comedian.
I was going to say,
I'm sorry, that infuriates
me. Oh, it's about
me.
To get worse. So, tired of the backlash, Cummings is launching a new series. So again, like, where's the cancelization? You're getting a new program. It's called Whitney Cummings Presents on the free-to-view streaming platform OFTV, which is OnlyFans TV. I did not know OnlyFans TV existed and that it's a completely not safe for work related content. Like, it's all very normal stuff. It's like cooking, workout, comedy, whatever, what have you. So in the revamped roast format, in which Cummings will interview fellow comedians, including Dan Levy and Bob the Drag Queen, to provide a behind the scenes look at what's involved in crafting gags. She explains that her reason behind the show is that she would, quote, like to create a space where comedians don't have to be scared anymore. So we can have the country that at least we've been trying to be. When you said co-opting language to be scared anymore, you're being booked. Okay, so Cummings sees this time when comedy has to evolve and
Stop.
Thinks it's time to bring
no,
roast back.
I'm not. Okay.
You can't
no,
even handle
we have
this.
To cut to the veteran stand-up comic has no issue with the show being streamed through OnlyFans. My thing is always follow the sex workers. That's what comedians have always done. We've always been hand in hand with sex workers.
I was waiting.
Stand up in America really started in strip clubs. And you know, comics are kind of emotional sex workers.
that's where it's like, I'm sorry, like,
I think she's making a joke there. Obviously the tone doesn't come through, but like, yeah. I just,
it's hard not to be like, well, this is why you're getting this
bitch in America,
why you're getting booed. Like, I'm just like, you're, it's not funny. And if it was funny, what is funny about this?
Bob the drag queen continuing to make terrible career decisions right after all those BetterHelp ads on the podcast.
Sorry. I do love how they also said, in my opinion, this is Whitney talking about other roasts on Comedy Central, that they, quote, started getting racist, actually homophobic, in which she partly blames the decision to roast non-comedians. I'm just like, so you admit the comedy was starting to get really offensive and not just generally funny. So, like, God forbid anyone has an intelligent conversation about this, truly.
Okay, so we're going to kind of skip through this Gwyneth Paltrow stuff because we're running a little bit long today. But basically, Gwyneth said that she is trying to eat food that doesn't have high levels of inflammation because of long COVID. And that
she's, it's all from that interview basically she did that everyone roasted her for.
Basically drinking bone broth. That tweet that we read at the top of the show, courtesy of one...
Christine Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Remember when I interviewed her?
Yes, I remember listening to you being on the phone with her when we used to live together. That was wild.
I'm just going to say, no, we didn't live together when I interviewed Christine because I was living in LA.
No, I swear.
No, I was living in LA and I remember sitting at my desk in LA when I did it.
I'm like, oh, you know what? That might have been Luann de Lesseps.
It was when I interviewed Luann.
That's what it was. Yeah.
But... I'm actually here to only talk about my cabaret. Yeah. Not my personal life. Never forget. I will never forget being shot down by Luann in such a dramatic fashion. No. I'll never forget Christine when I asked her, like, you know, do you ever watch things on the show and, like, you feel like
they're happening? Oh, yeah, this happening? Is July 2020.
Yeah.
You did that.
I was like, do you ever feel like you're watching things on the show and, like, they happen not in the order that you remember them or that, like, you mm-hmm. can see kind of how they're cutting you to make a certain storyline work? And she was like, you're a smart girl, Joan. I'm sure you can figure it out. No, I'm serious.
No, I remember.
It's read this. I want to see you read the exact thing that she said.
Oh, you have it on the piece at the bottom.
No, it's somewhere in there. Like, just say like something like, just Google smart, like control F smart.
Oh, yeah, I got it right here.
It was the most condescending thing anyone has ever said to me.
Let me read your question fully, just for the context. So you said, you mentioned the Kardashians earlier. That's a show that's been frequently criticized for fudging the timelines of certain scenes. It will come out that they filmed one scene, like, months after the fact, but the way it's been edited makes it seem like it's happening chronologically. On Selling Sunset, is what we see in the chronological order that it's played out for you guys in real life, or do you think they kind of messed around with the timeline of certain things? And Christy just says, I mean, honestly, I can't comment on production, but I know you're a smart person, Joan.
She also had this.
I love you afterwards. I appreciate that. Moving on.
I'll never forget when she was telling me how her wedding cost $1 million. And over the phone, I was like, wow, congrats. And then in the piece, it just reads, it's like, wow, congratulations. And everyone in the comments is like, I thought Joan Summers was a communist. I thought you're a communist. And here you are congratulating her for her $1 million wedding. How does that make sense,
you
know, Joan?
She did call you smart another time, too. You said, well, originally you were talking about Beverly Hills, Vanderpump Rules, Selling Sunset, about LA personalities, about how they're, you know, portrayed on the show, whatever. And then your response to her original answer was, that's interesting. Seeing on TV just makes everything worse. And Christine says, I mean, I wouldn't use TV as the word, but you fill that in. You're smart.
She was, I mean, truly the most condescending person.
It does sound like she's 100% the same on TV as she is in real life.
The fact that, like, every drag queen I have interviewed in my career combined had less of a diva attitude than Christine Quinn is truly mind-boggling. Like, I interviewed Raven and she somehow had less of a complex than fucking Christine Quinn. Like, even Luann had less of a complex, right? Wow. Like, at least Luann would play ball with me a little bit. Christine was like, she had this weird tangent at one point that I didn't include in the piece because it would have just added like another 1,000 words about like how it's difficult. Like, I don't want to get in trouble for paraphrasing her wrong, but it was like this weird tangent about Chinese clients in the hills because of the masks and not being able to understand them because of like accents in the masks.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause this is July of 2020.
Yeah. Especially. No. And I was like, you know what? Like, honestly, I wasn't even doing it to protect her when I left it out. I was just like, you know what? Like, I truly, when she started going on the tangent about like selling homes and whatnot, because this was when she still had like a real estate license, which was expired. I was like trying to understand what she was talking about. And I was like, I think I had asked her like, what's it like been showing homes in the pandemic or whatever? Mm. And she started talking about like, oh, she had these clients from China and they were wearing masks and it was like hard to understand and you can't be personal. But the story went on for like 10 minutes and I was like,
mama,
I was like, you know what? I'm doing you a favor by thinking this story is too boring to include in the piece because it would elicit a very different reaction.
Thing. Yeah.
This would be the poll quote. This would be the poll quote. But no, so she says something about Gwyneth. And for context, do you want to give us a little bit about this lawsuit going down?
Yeah. So we've talked about this years back. Like, it's been a while. I thought it was
2020,
done.
2020, 2021, 2022. Almost 4 years ago, yeah, we talked about this.
So it was announced today anymore. That Gwyneth Paltrow is going to go to trial 7 years after a Utah ski slope incident. So we have this from USA Today. Gwyneth Paltrow is due to stand on trial in Utah after being sued for a ski crash in 2016, referred to as a hit and run. Paltrow's trial is set for 8 days, starting Tuesday, which should be either the day you're listening to this or the day after. It's unclear if the actress will testify during the trial. So, like we mentioned way back when, 2019, Gwyneth Paltrow was sued by Terry Sanderson, who claimed she seriously injured him during a crash on the slopes at Park City Resort. The alleged incident occurred February 26, 2016 on a beginner run at Deer Valley Resort. In Sanderson's lawsuit, who's a retired optometrist, he said that Paltrow was skiing out of control and knocked him out, leaving him with a concussion and 4 broken ribs. Sanderson referred to it as a hit and run and is seeking $3.1 million in damages. He also claimed that Paltrow left him injured on the mountain and didn't send help. Sanderson alleged a Deer Valley ski instructor filed a false incident report saying Paltrow didn't cause the crash. Sanderson told reporters in Salt Lake City on the day he sued that he waited to file the lawsuit for nearly 3 years because he had problems with attorneys and could not function properly because of the concussion. I think we talked about that when it happened, because in 2019 is when this all came out and when he finally filed suit. So that timeline definitely makes sense here. Paltrow obviously has kind of said very different things about the crash. She says that Sanderson's sequence of events greatly differs from hers, who alleged in the counterclaim that the retired optometrist actually hit her from behind and delivered a, quote, full body blow. Paltrow said she was shaken by the collision and quit skiing with her family for the day. In her counterclaim, she also said that Sanderson apologized to her and said he was fine. She had previously denied blame for the crash in a statement, but had not yet offered a full version of the events. Paltrow is seeking, quote, symbolic damages to the amount of $1 plus her cost and attorney fees to defend this meritless claim. The actress vowed to donate any additional funds potentially awarded by the jury to a charitable organization, of course.
Okay, so I'm reminded of this. Do you remember that piece that we did about Gwyneth for our Goop series?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How Goop's haters made Gwyneth Paltrow's company worth $250 million.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this part of that profile in the New York Times where she is at the Harvard classroom. Do you remember this?
Oh my God, barely. Yeah.
Okay. So all the students' questions about those newsletters and their kinds. So they're asking her questions about the newsletter, about how she began business and all this stuff. And then she says something like, okay, I'm trying to look for it right now, but there's a piece where she basically starts talking about how, like, causing drama and ridiculous is good for business because it drives people to it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I so do know what you're talking about.
Okay, wait, I'm looking for it in this piece. So
I know she basically was saying something along that lines, like, if you, even as long as you don't claim anything that's obviously like dangerous or like fraudulent in a sense, but if you can, like, okay, so, say something crazy.
So, okay, so last year, Gwyneth gave a platform to her friend Shiva Rose, a healer who talked about inserting a jade egg into her vagina, which she says concubines did, and she claims helped prevent uterine prolapse. This did not go unnoticed.
They sold a brush that would help your lymph flow, a salt shampoo that would detoxify your scalp, a water bottle with rose quartz in it that would infuse your water with positive energy. Goop knew what readers were clicking on, and it was nimble enough to meet those needs by actually manufacturing the things as readers wanted. When a story about beauty products that didn't have endocrine disruptors and formaldehyde got a lot of traffic in 2015, the company started Goop by Juice Beauty, a collection of clean face creams and oils and cleansers that it promised lacked those things. So it talks about how she gamifies all of this. And then the weirder Goop went, the more its readers rejoiced. And then, of course, the more Goop was criticized by mainstream doctors, blah, 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 blah. But every time there was a negative story about her company, all that it did was bring more people to the site.
Yep.
With assaults coming from all sides, Goop began to dig its heels into the dirt, not only because dirt is a natural exfoliant and contains selenium. So later in the piece, she says, "But something strange happened. Each of these pronouncements set off a series of blog posts and articles and tweets that linked directly to the site, driving up traffic. At Harvard, Gwyneth called those moments cultural firestorms. I can monetize those eyeballs," she told the students. Goop had learned to do the special kind of dark art, to corral the vitriol of the internet and the ever-present, shall we call it, cultural ambivalence about Gwyneth herself, and turn them into cash. "It's never clickbait," she told the class. "It's a cultural firestorm when it's about a woman's vagina." The room was silent. Then she cupped her hands around her mouth and yelled, "Vagina, vagina, vagina, vagina." After too many cultural firestorms and with investors to think about, Gwyneth made some changes. She's hired a lawyer to vet all the claims on the site, blah, blah, blah. But what I mean by that is we know that this lady is savvy enough to be like, I'm going to say something that's going to make people mad. Not only is it going to be good for my site, but I know what the news is going to pick up. If she says all the buzzwords, inflammation, bone broth, long COVID, we're all going to talk about it.
And it's funny because it's like nothing new for her either, which is why the press and like scandal around it was like kind of hilarious. I was like,
I apologize for going on such a deep thing, but I was like, I remembered her saying that.
No, but she basically is admitting to like using this tactic as necessary.
Yes.
So
I wouldn't doubt that she planned doing this in some way because she knew it would get the press off of her fucking lawsuit for running a man over.
Gosh, it's Gwyneth Paltrow,
causing a brain injury. What's insane about this country, and I'll just leave it here, is that like if any of us were to run over a guy and cause a permanent brain injury, like we'd be liable. But because you're Gwyneth Paltrow, you're just like, actually, that's your problem.
And you have people go to court for you.
Yeah, you don't even have to show up.
Which is always the craziest part to me. That I can't believe you're able to do that still. It's wild.
Oh, my God. Well.
Well.
How long did we go?
A little over an hour.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we had a lot of news this week.
Good promise for Bieber tomorrow.
Little hour 10.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. That's going to destroy us.
Dude.
And we got to watch the documentary.
So we're going to watch Selena this week. We're going to talk about it on Thursday's episode. There's going to be an extra bonus episode on Thursday, everybody. So get ready for that. We're going to cover the Selena Gomez documentary. And then next week, we're going to cover the Justin Bieber, Hailey Bieber YouTube series, which thankfully we don't have to torrent because it's on YouTube.
Come through. Where is the Selena thing originally?
Apple TV.
It was an Apple TV thing. Okay.
And you know, I don't pay for that shit.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I know you do.
No, it's just included with like,
because you have your little space show that you like.
Frontier's good. For All My Kind is also good, unfortunately.
Sure, Jan. Do I get out of here?
Let's get out of here.
Three, two, one. Hi. My name is Sheena Shea, and I was the original home wrecking whore of this group. Then it was Lala, and now it's you.